Hey guys, it's Nick from Game Time. Thanks for listening to our podcast and stream online and on the app. Just remember, it's still radio, 1620 The Zone AM radio. So please remember, all the time you spend listening to 1620 The Zone AM radio, remember, 1620 The Zone AM radio.
Mike Schaefer.
Mike Schaefer. My album. Who is Mike
Schaefer?
My album. Who is Mike
Schaefer?
Mike Schaefer, Nebraska 24/7 Sports.
Man, all of us media people look so dumb right now. I've used Colt now twice on your show.
You got one more and you're out, all right? Mike Schaefer's my guest, Nebraska 24/7 Sports.
Gentlemen, I think you're going to be a little disappointed with my lack of great basketball
knowledge. Come on, man. I paid my $10. I want to see the 3-4. I want to see the Schoenberg in the middle of that line.
Mike Schaefer, Nebraska 24/7 Sports.
If you had to start a team and you could get peak era Hershey Hawkins or peak era LeBron James, you're going to lean a little bit towards Thirsty Hawkins.
Right. Mike Schaefer, Huskers Illustrated, Nebraska 24/7 Sports.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you, Nick.
Let's bring him in, Mike Schaefer. Schaefer, was there a show that you said you were going to start? I'm trying to remember our conversation last week that you were maybe going to try to start so you could have a show. We were in a show hole right now with discussion. Were you going to start Barry?
I was gonna try to finish Barry before this interview. I didn't get it done. I got 2 episodes left in the second season. And then I actually threw out on Twitter, because I'm trying to figure out what I need to get caught up on and watch. And people really like the Chernobyl mini.
Yeah.
So I think that's where I'm headed next.
That's where I think I'm headed to. Maybe we can get an Uber together to Chernobyl so we can watch this together.
I kind of like the idea of us waiting a month behind everybody else and then watching the show. And then talking about it, like we do it for 5 straight weeks. We talk about, like, each episode just came out the Sunday before. people are so confused by it.
We'll speak it with the same excitement of, like, Thrones. The people will be really confused. I like that idea too. Let's do it. I was talking to Stibbs. I'm Chernobyl. Everybody acts like it's big time. Like this thing is like an amazing series.
How many people do you think realize that it's a real thing?
Maybe, I guess I don't know how it's framed in the show, but I bet you'd be astonished how many people don't.
Yeah, I guess the way that people are talking about it, like, oh, it's such an amazing story, and like they did a really good job of it. It's kind of like, well, okay. I mean, I'm sure that this isn't the first opportunity that Chernobyl has ever had to be on the small screen in terms of, like, you know, a documentary or things like that. It's funny, like, when HBO does something, somehow it's elevated to such a degree that people are, you know, anybody else could have done something for years, but HBO's doing it now, so it's a big deal.
It gets legitimized. But, yeah, I bet more people than you think probably are totally unaware. They're like, how about this story? These writers, I tell you, talk about creativity.
Where do they come up with this stuff?
I mean, really? And the name and everything, just unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. It's ridiculous. Hey, was I taking a two-week nap last year during this time? When this pipeline camp coming up, did they have a pipeline camp last year?
No, this is a new thing. Okay, it's something that Nebraska has partnered up with Adidas. It's a national-level camp, which they're hoping to bring in some of the top offensive linemen, defensive linemen in the country. And let them, you know, get work and instruction from the coaching staff, and then other coaches will be around too to be able to evaluate. It's kind of Adidas is really kind of making a push for its college schools by hosting some of these satellite camps around the country and getting these schools with Adidas ties into them so they can see some of these players and, you know, kind of an access point, if you will. And Nebraska, I think, has long had interest in trying to do that, because if this camp, and there's really not anyone that has put together like a specifically for lineman big man camp, it could really work to Nebraska's advantage, because you get a lot of Midwest kids in the 2020, you know, if they're still looking for offers, but more likely 2021, 2022, 2023, that are going to come out to Nebraska because they want to be in front of college teams and they want the opportunity to go against other good players and measure themselves. I mean, if you think about this camp, if it would have happened last year, you would have seen Turner Corcoran versus Nash Hutmacher and things like that. So I think that it's a really great opportunity to get college players, you know, prospective college players to campus, and for other schools to see what the Midwest has available to it. So I think that it's going to go really well for Nebraska. I expect it's going to be a yearly thing, and it's going to only grow, kind of like Friday Night Lights has, you know, from that first iteration to what we'll see going forward year to year.
Yeah, obviously June 14th and then June 21st, Friday Night Lights for Nebraska. Anything major with the first one coming up in here, what, 4 or 5 days?
Not really. I mean, I think the biggest thing out of this first one coming up is actually an official visit that's being taken that same weekend. I mean, Blaze Gunnarsson won't be working out at Friday Night Lights.
His name's Blaze?
He'll be walking around.
His name is Blaze?
His name is Blaze, B-L-A-I-S-E. And he's a 6'5", 260-pound outside linebacker that Nebraska really wants.
I mean, I don't care if this guy can't play a lick. You have to have him on the team.
I think he can play quite a bit, actually.
Okay, good. That's even better.
He's one of those guys I think would be a really big part of their class if they can get it. Because, and it kind of works off of the outside linebacker they brought in this past week that was 6'2", 215. That's one of those really versatile positions that Nebraska has to be able to go out and get different types of players and continually have success of getting different types of players. Because the Big Ten features the Wisconsin-style offenses, where you need the Blaze Gunnarssons that can hold up on the outside linebacker spot. But then you also want the Cody Simon, who visited this past weekend at 6'2", 215, who, you know, ultimately you get to 230, 235, that you can line up against Penn State and Ohio State. And when they run those motions and they put a running back out there, that you can defend against that too.
Mike Schaefer's my guest. Schaefer, if memory serves me correctly, I think this time last year, I remember talking to you and a handful of other recruiting people about the importance of landing Nick Henrich in this class, not only for the symbolic purposes, but the fact that he's a heck of a player. Is there another guy in this class? Doesn't necessarily have to be a local guy, but is there a guy to you that has risen to the top on Nebraska's targets with offers that you feel like that guy is really, really important for this 2020 class?
I think Huttmacher, because you don't want him to go to Wisconsin. You don't want to have to play against them. You want to be able to say that you can go toe-to-toe with those teams in a 3-4 look, and you can win for a nose tackle like that. He comes to mind. You look at some other guys that they really like. I mean, Jamar Sakona would be great for them because of the Polynesian influence that Tony Tuioti is able to bring. And then in terms of, again, another really good 3-4 defensive lineman. And I think that it also helps unlock an area of California and the northern part in that Bay Area that could be pretty good and fruitful for them going forward. Those are the first two that jump out to me. The rest of it, I mean, it's kind of – there's nobody quite like Nick Henrich. That was a big, big deal last year.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Barrett Rude did an outstanding job recruiting him. There's a lot of guys that would love to have in the 2020 class. But in terms of just being a symbol of – what Scott Frost and that hire kind of meant towards turning this program going forward, Henrich is a big part of that.
So, Shafe, this is kind of like a question that could have been asked a handful of years ago, but it got me to thinking because of this, you know, with Darren Erstad stepping down and you get to think about how good the baseball job is. And then, of course, one of the things that always comes up is the conference and how much – not being in the Big 12 impacted Texas and its ability to recruit there. What have you seen with football in that regard? And I know you haven't been on the recruiting beat for forever, but how much does Nebraska have a presence in Texas, if at all, now from a football recruiting standpoint?
Yeah, it's continually just sort of been this constant moving target for them. This staff has done a nice job recruiting down there, but, I mean, Cam Jones was one of the first players they got a commitment and ultimately signed, but he's now moved on from the program. They didn't take a player out of Texas this past year, unless you want to count the fact that Maurice Washington, that wasn't even been in that class. Yeah, they didn't take a player out of Texas this past year. They've had two guys visit in the last week from the state of Texas. I think that they want to spend time and recruit that area, but it hasn't been particularly fruitful. I think I view sort of Nebraska recruiting in Texas in the same way that, you know, Nebraska recruiting in Tennessee or Kentucky or you know, wherever they were pulling random guys from last year has just more to do with the individual player than it does as a state at large. I think that they're going to recruit it, but it's not going to necessarily be a focal point. It's not going to be something that, you know, they have to get a couple kids every year to try to build some sort of pipeline there. I just think it's going to be, there's going to be individual guys that fit needs that they're going to go down and recruit hard, and they just happen to be from Texas. I mean, Greg Austin has good connections in Houston. The quarterback, I think that they could land in the 2021 class is from Houston, but I don't know if that necessarily means that they're going to start establishing this sort of pipeline and what they were doing in the 90s and then the early 2000s before they ended up moving over to the Big Ten. So I mean, the days of bringing in 10 guys from Texas seems pretty unlikely in a recruiting class going forward.
What state does, is it Florida? Is that the state that the staff has the best connections in?
I don't know. This almost sounds like I'm throwing red meat to the people that want to harken back to the Tom Osborne days, but I don't think that there's a one state philosophy with these guys. I mean, they're going to recruit nationally and they're going to go after the guys that fit what they want. But really, it strikes me that their area of emphasis is to lock up as much talent as they can from Iowa, South Dakota, Colorado, Kansas, you know, the border states, Missouri. And then they really have done a nice job pushing into Alabama and Georgia and finding guys there, you know, whether it's Cam Taylor or, you know, Caleb Tanner or people of that effect that they pulled out that have been starters or have been good players for them early on. So I look at that and I think, you know, the Midwest and then a little bit into that Southeast, but there's not like a, you know, they didn't take a player from Florida, Texas, or California this past year.
That's crazy, you know, but that's, I mean, that's, I, all in all, you'd say, I mean, their approach in terms of kind of having not necessarily all their eggs in one state, that's the right way to do it, probably.
It strikes me that way. And I mean, the thing is, it's not like they don't have connections. Obviously, they coached in Central Florida for 2 years, and Javon DeWitt's well-known down in South Florida where he's coached for a while. Travis Fisher and Sean Beckton have connections in, you know, both Georgia and in northern Florida. So they're well-connected in those areas. It's just that they haven't necessarily found the fits or they didn't get the commitments that would have stemmed from that. But I think you just look at what they did with Wandale Robinson and Jackson Hanna and Ramir Johnson, and, you know, that's New Jersey, Kentucky, Tennessee, not exactly Nebraska's stronghold.
Sure.
But they have that kind of success that they can go in there and win those battles. It tells me that they can do that in other states too. It's just that they're choosing to find specific players and going about it that route.
Mike Schaefer, Huskers 24/7 Sports. Schaefer, I guess we'll have to get our Chernobyl game going here, and then we'll have to talk about it, okay? That's what we got to do.
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay, it's a date.
How fired up are you? I mean, this time next week, we're going to be well into the College World Series.
Oh, I mean, you kidding me? And it's there's a chance the NBA Finals are done. I mean, it's a perfect storm, Schaefer. I'll just leave it at that. It's a perfect storm for me. I'm doing it.
Tomorrow?
Tonight, game five tonight. Who you got, by the way? You got think Toronto wins the title tonight?
I mean, I took Toronto to win the series with a little Monopoly money before the series started.
Look at you. Good for you.
I took them to cover and win game four. I think the Raptors can maybe close it out here tonight. I really do. But we'll see. Why is the NBA Finals schedule so weird?
I don't know why. Yeah, I don't either. I think
TV purposes? Like, is Monday a better night for them to play than last night would have been?
See, that's what I don't – and if there ever was there was only one day rest in between game three and game four where there had been 2 days rest in between games. I don't know if that's – I don't know. I'm with you. Especially when they can control – they can do whatever they want, you know? I mean, it's like they can do whatever they want with it. I'm with you. It's pretty weird.
Yeah. I just never understood. There's no rhyme or reason for why the days are allocated the way they are.
Do you think KD plays tonight?
I don't. I don't think he plays in this series. I don't think there's any reason for him to, if I'm being entirely honest. Like, why even chance making things worse? You have nothing to prove to anybody, in my opinion.
Yeah, man. I mean, he's be interesting because for the first time ever, he's listed as questionable, and Steve Kerr called him a game time decision tonight. So, I mean, I don't. He's been ruled out for an entire month, 24 hours before the game, and all of a sudden he's listed as questionable. It seems peculiar.
It's like, how many minutes can he actually give you in the NBA playing on a bum wheel? Like, that's what I don't get.
Well, And the other thing too is, yeah, I mean, how, not only that, but how in shape is he? His rhythm is, I mean, I get the sense it's not like he's been literally not been able to do anything for a month. So I don't know. I mean, we see what Boogie Cousins looks like. He's got jello legs out there. You know what I mean? And I feel like it'd be KD as well.
Well, and you know that, I almost called him San Antonio. You know that Toronto is going to have a strategy for whatever they try to do with KD. And they're probably going to go right at him every time he's on defense, because I don't think he can move laterally with that kind of injury with much success. Like, it just seems weird that you would put him out there as sort of like your, you know, throw the kitchen sink and hope that it works.
Right. We'll see. It'd be interesting to see what happens. Shafe, you the man, dude. We'll catch up next week.
All right. Have a good one.
You got it. Mike Schaefer, Huskers 24/7 Sports. Make sure you go check Schaefer out. Obviously, you're going to have a lot of coverage for Friday Night Lights, the pipeline, all that good stuff. All right. Still to come, Vers. Going to stop by at 1:30. I continue to not give Secret Life of Pets 2 spoilers for all the kids that are here. Do not want to give away the plot. What happens to Max and Duke and Chloe and Snowball? Oh, it's good, George. George, are you going to go? Don't toy with me. Don't tell me you're going to go and then not go, because I want someone to talk about it with.
I'm legit going to go.
Okay, because when I'm like, Mava, how about the part? She's like, yeah, Duke was there. I'm like, all right, you don't. You're no help at all, all right? No help at all. All right, 12:47 on a Monday, game time.